Hi, y'all, and welcome to the Fitness Nutritionist Podcast. And that's nutritionist with an S, since there's two of us. We're your hosts, Stephanie and Mandy.
We all know that nutrition and fitness information can be overwhelming and confusing.
So we're here to help women find real answers for all things fitness and nutrition related by giving you quick tips and strategies so you can find your healthy weight, get fit, and improve your physical and mental health.
And as registered dietitians, we know how nutrition and exercise can help you feel better and allow you to live your healthiest and happiest life. So be sure and hit the subscribe button so you don't miss out on any of the episodes full of great tips and helpful information we have just for you. You can also join us in our private Facebook group, the Fitness Nutritionist Corner, where we will provide fun challenges, answer your questions, and support women along their journey to a better health. So grab a glass of water and let's get moving with today's topic.
Welcome back to episode number 17 of the Fitness Nutritionist Podcast. Today, we're going to be talking about eating healthy on a budget.
Yeah, as we all know, the current economic climate is getting kind of scary. The retail food price inflation in 2020 has outpaced historically the average by 75%. Oh. Yeah, I know. That's crazy. So I know you guys eat beef. We eat beef. Since 2020, beef has increased 9.6%.
Wow. Yep. That's a lot.
Pork has increased by 6.3%. Poultry, 5.6%. Other meat, 4.4%. Dairy, 4.4%. And eggs at 4.3%. That is just insane. On the way to church this morning, my husband and I, we were talking about fuel prices. As well as the farm, we also have a trucking company. And since 2020, fuel has increased 192%.
Wow. Yeah. So,
yeah,
I think this is going to be a very, you know, pertinent topic for our listeners today, because we're all trying to, you know, make sure that we're spending our money wisely and making it count. So I know we got some great tips to share with them today on how you can still eat healthy on a budget, even with these rising food prices.
Yeah. And it was actually a challenge for me when I did a sample menu, including like breakfast, a snack, lunch, and a dinner. And I thought, oh, this is going to be super easy. This is going to be less than I was thinking, $10. Mm-hmm. Well, that wasn't the case. And I went off food prices based in the last 2 days. Oh, wow. So it came to around $25 for two people to eat all those meals. And I thought, well, that's really not bad. But when I was doing the research, a lot of people were saying, we only spend $25 a week on groceries. And it blew my mind, because I'm like, how are you doing this? I'm seriously interested in knowing, how do you do this? Because I feel like I'm a pretty savvy shopper. You know, I try to do a lot of the things we're going to be talking about today. And there was no way that I could do it. The number one thing that really blew the budget was 1 pound of beef.
Yeah.
So it'll be interesting as we're talking to, you know, maybe I can even pick up some things that you may be doing. So there is a huge misconception that healthy foods such as fruits, vegetables are more expensive than processed foods. Healthy eating can be the key to maintaining blood sugar levels, blood pressure, weight control, and other health conditions. Now, there is that argument that healthy food is more expensive, but it's kind of like a teeter-totter. If you're buying the processed foods that are not as healthy, then you could develop diabetes. You can obviously gain weight. You can have blood pressure issues. The list can go on, right? So you're going to be going to the doctor more. You're going to be on medications. You know, there are so many other things that are associated. Now, can we say that Pop-Tart might be cheaper than a fruit smoothie?
Yeah.
Of course, the Pop-Tart is going to be cheaper, but it's not going to be as filling and it's not going to be as healthy.
Yeah.
Right. So fruit smoothie is actually one of the examples that I put in there.
Yeah. So I think it's with anything in life, you know, you have to kind of weigh the pros and the cons. And, you know, maybe it's because the age of life that we're in now, I'm realizing that not everything is better off being the initial cheaper choice. Because like you said, you know, typically in life, right, you're going to pay one way or the other. But even just aside from that, you know, monetary point, it's how do you feel? That's what I always go back to with the ladies that I work with, my clients. It's like, pay attention to how you feel after you eat. And we all know that, yeah, there are comfort foods. And we know that, you know, after a bad day, we're not feeling that good. Sometimes you need the bowl of ice cream. That's what's going to hit the point.
Yes.
The, you know, that's what's going to make you feel better right then and there. But ultimately, so say the Pop-Tart is cheaper right now. Is that really going to be nourishing you and truly making you feel better? So even though it might cost you a little bit more up front, but I think that the listeners will see today that that's not always necessarily true. The bottom line is, you know, you want to feel good. You want to be energized. You want to know that you're nourishing your body. And I think that's what most women want. So that's why we're doing this topic today, to show you that sometimes you can have the best of both worlds.
Right.
So yeah. Mandy, my first tip for cooking on a budget and just trying to make sure that, you know, you're spending your money wisely, but that you're also nourishing yourself and caring for your health, is I tell my clients, shop store brands. So often store brands versus name brand, they're the identical ingredients and quality. So, and I know this, like sometimes the stores, it is the same product, but since they're putting their label on it, they have the agreement that, you know, it's going to be, say, Walmart's label or Albertson's label, but it's the exact same thing as what's next door to it. So
it's packaged in the exact same facility, mm-hmm, as, you know, company ABC is packaging it for Walmart or HEB. You're exactly right. I used to tell my patients the exact same thing. I'm like, it's okay to buy it, but they think that it'll be lesser quality or whatever the case may be. And I'm like, oh, definitely not. But, you know, I'm going to be honest. There's like one brand of hot sauce I will not buy. It is not my favorite. I'm not going to mention it because I think it's made here in Texas, but there's so many other brands of, you know, like just for example, hot sauce. I love trying different ones. Same thing with store brands, which I think I've told you this before, Stephanie, but you know, like Can Rotel, I will put that in almost everything I cook. I love it. But HEB's brand is almost 50 cents cheaper. So of course, I'm going to buy their brand over that.
Yeah. What I tell my clients is, you know, you have to find those things. I always say, try it once and see, because most of the time now there are a few things, you know, cheese, some things like that, that I can tell. I don't know if I would, if I was blindfolded, but it's like, I feel like I can tell it, but then there's going to be lots of things that really are going to be identical in taste and texture. And like you mentioned, I think this is important to point out, quality. Just because you're spending more on something absolutely does not mean that it's better quality. And this goes even for organic foods.
Yes. Speaking of quality, a lot of people feel, they think that canned goods are not as good quality as fresh. Now, I've always had a saying, fresh is best, then frozen, and then canned. But here's the deal. Stock up when you can. If there are things that you typically use on a regular basis, if it's canned fruit or canned vegetables or even frozen, stock up when you can, especially when it goes on sale. Again, I will tell my patients, if you're using canned goods, rinse it off before you cook it. It gets that excess sodium, gets the extra sugar, and things like that out of it. However, they had the same nutritional values as we can get buying fresh. So, you know, and that's another thing. Like, of course, we want you to buy fresh, but if you're really wanting, you love pineapples and it's in the dead of winter, of course, you're not going to get good quality pineapples. So
you know, when you buy fresh because you think it's healthier, but then you end up not using it during that week and you throw it away anyways, you really haven't saved yourself any money and you haven't improved your nutrition because you didn't end up eating it. So I deal with that same thing. People do always want to do fresh. And I'm like, yes, but don't overbuy it, you know, so you don't end up just throwing it away. And some things, like when I drink a smoothie almost every morning, and I do like fresh spinach better. It really does change the texture of the smoothie if I use the frozen spinach versus the raw.
Right.
But then there are those, you know, like if it was kale, using the frozen kale. But what I say is, if you're not going to eat it or it's just going to go to waste, you're better off just buying the other one anyways.
But something you can also do is chop that kale or spinach or even, you know, a banana, strawberries, chop it up, put it in a baggie and freeze it so you can just throw it into your smoothie. I actually do that a lot if my blueberries are starting to turn mushy or even my bananas. So I'll do that too, just so I don't have to throw it away. Or I saute it and I add turkey sausage to it and my egg whites. And then those are my eggs for the week. So I'm trying to do better about not throwing food away because it's just so painful to do.
Yeah. And then some stores do have, as produce is starting to age and they're trying to move it, you can get like a bag of bananas that are more ripened. You can get those on sale or for a cheaper price. And then you can use those to, like you said, freeze and put in smoothies or, you know, make banana bread, something like that. So that's another way that you can save your money there. So another tip number three is buy seasonally. So here, this is planning your menu based on foods that are in season, as it will be more cost effective. And then also they're going to taste better when they're actually in season. So be sure that, you know, you look to see what fruits and vegetables are, you know, that's their time of the year for them, and try to base your menus more off of that. And that can help save some money.
And when foods are in season, there's lots of pop-up markets or even your vegetable markets that you can go buy things that may be a little bit cheaper than, you know, like we said, when they weren't in season. A next tip is to invest in freezer-safe food containers. Freezing, as I said a while ago, is always a good way to preserve items before they spoil. These items can be used for smoothies, sauces, and other recipes. And I also use glass mason jars to put my produce in while it's in the fridge, and they actually stay better longer. So grape tomatoes, if they're starting to get mushy and I know I'm not going to eat them in salads anymore, I stick them in the freezer. And then when I want to make a pasta sauce, but it's not like a true sauce, it's more of a sauteed whatever, then I will pull those out, saute them, and then I add to my pasta.
Yeah.
I try to use any type of food that I can for whatever.
Yeah. My mother-in-law is the queen of freezing. She buys those like freezer bags, and then she has that machine where it sucks the air out. She can freeze anything and it still tastes good.
I have that too. So in the summertime when celery and onions and stuff like that are in season, I will chop them up and then I freeze it. So then it's ready for like Thanksgiving and Christmas when I'm making dressing and stuff like that. Or if I'm making a stew, I have the exact same thing.
The only tip I'll add here is to be sure though, because if you're like me, my stuff tends to get buried. Just when you're freezing that, if you can just stick a date on it, just so then when you are kind of pulling it out, you'll know how long it's been in the freezer. So a little sticker or writing a Sharpie on that, you know, top of the mason jar on that freezer bag can really help. So tip number five, eat more meatless meals. So some of the guys might not be too crazy about that, but
no, mine either, but they've done it.
Incorporating a few meals using plant-based protein, such as lentils or chickpeas, can help save the cost. Because like you, we were talking a couple of weeks ago about, we were telling our kids, they were home from college, that used to, you know, ground beef was kind of what people used when they were pinching their pennies, like when we were in college and stuff, because it could be cheaper. But now a pound of ground beef is just as expensive. So that doesn't mean that you want to eliminate protein, because you absolutely do not. So be sure that you're putting in some of those plant-based proteins to replace that. That can help save some money along the way too.
And the reason we don't want to totally eliminate those animal proteins is they contain all 9 essential amino acids, which we refer to as a complete protein. Those amino acids are so important through so many functions of our body. So plant-based proteins can provide a range of amino acids. We recommend consuming different protein sources to provide what we call a complementary amino acid to make that protein. An example of this, which we all know, is rice and beans. But research indicates it's not necessary to eat complementary proteins at each meal. It's okay, it's sufficient, as you will, to consume them within the same day. So you don't have to eat rice and beans together. I might have a whole wheat tortilla at lunch with some beans on it. And then at dinner, I might have a recipe that I put in there. It's called Korean beef and rice. So those two together at separate times still makes that complementary amino acid.
Yeah. And there are 2 sources of complete proteins. That's quinoa and soy. They contain all the essential amino acids and they're considered complete proteins also. So there's other plant-based proteins. You have tofu, beans, lentils, chickpeas, oats, grains, nuts, quinoa, broccoli, mushrooms, all those too. So it's important to try to incorporate those, as we've talked several times also on the podcast about eating the rainbow, having the different colors and things on your plate. Another way you can get this in is black bean and lentil tacos or black bean and sweet potato tacos. Those types of things. What are some of your favorites to do there, Mandy?
Well, I love mushrooms and I love to cook with mushrooms. So anytime I have a chance, I will dice up mushrooms, put it in like marinara sauce, because some of my family is not big on mushrooms. So I still have to sneak them in. I love to do mushroom fajitas, you know, like made out of the portobello mushrooms. Other things I will do is vegetable sheet pan fajitas. And again, that's made with the mushrooms, homemade cheese pizza. And, you know, we typically use cauliflower pizza crust, you know, to cut down on some of those carbs, some Southwest lime corn salad. That's always a summer favorite, and some vegetable lo mein. Yeah. So there's lots of things you can do. It's very filling and, you know, especially the guys, they won't walk away thinking, okay, what just happened? I'm still hungry because I didn't get my meat. But you're right. I actually do a lot of cooking with hamburger meat, as it was typically in the past considered a more cost-effective cut of meat. However, I was at Costco a couple of days ago and I get 3 1-pound things of organic ground meat. It was basically $20, like $19.99. So it's not as groovy as it used to be.
Well, tip number 6 is to buy in bulk. So buying in bulk reduces the cost of packaging. It can also allow you to try new grains, flours, nuts, and more. And then just be sure that when you get those, that you store them in airtight containers, such as like the mason jars that you mentioned. I still kind of find it hard to buy in bulk because I don't want to store a bunch of things, but, and I will say here that it is not always the most cost effective. You do still have to look at your prices and make sure, you know, because we do say that, but I have been at, say, Sam's, for instance, and compared the pricing and I'm like, well, that's really no cheaper. And then I have to store it. So generally it is, but be sure that you are looking at the prices and comparing that.
Yeah, no, you're exactly right. I'm always having my calculator out in the store because I will look at even their bulk price. I want to calculate it out per ounce or per pound. And then, you know, I will compare it to something else. And sometimes store brands might not be as cheap, but most of the time, you know, they are a little bit more cost effective. So another tip that I recommend is meal planning based on store sales and also shop with a list. Most people, they may know this or they might not know this. Stores have rotations on how their stuff goes on sale. I researched for a long time to try to figure it out, and I couldn't really figure it out. because I wanted to give you guys this information. But you can always ask, you know, if it's your local HEB or whoever you shop with, you know, ask them, hey, do you know when this item is going to go on sale again? And you can use that information to stock up. You can use it to, you know, plan out several meals, especially if it's, you know, a non-perishable item. What about you, Stephanie? I know you do a little bit of meal planning.
Yeah, so I definitely like to shop from my menu. I try to make my menu out on, say, Sunday, and then shop off of that for the week. I'll do Walmart delivery or something like that. But I have found that that does help me not end up throwing away as much, because when I was just buying just to buy, like, oh, this looks good, or oh, I might need this, but it wasn't on my menu or I didn't plan it out, I was throwing it away. So I do really try to shop from a list and making my menu out. And I have found that that really can help avoid waste and spending more and just not using it.
Right. And I shop with a list too, but I'm kind of bad. Like when I went to Costco, I saw pears and I'm like, oh, I'm going to grab a bag of pears. So, you know, even if I'm not on my list, I still try to, well, I don't try. I deviate just a little. And I'll tell you, that's been the one thing about the pandemic I think that I've learned to adapt is I do have my groceries delivered, or I do online and pick them up. It does cost a little bit more what you would pay in the store. However, you don't deviate from what you were actually going to get. So it ends up being a little bit less than I feel like I would have normally
spent. Yeah, and I think that's smart too, though, because like say I had strawberries and cream for one night, but I was in the store and those pears were on sale and the strawberries weren't. Well, that's just being smart. You know, you can swap those out and still,
exactly,
you know, overall have healthy and still be incorporating your food group. So I think that's smart. So, well, we've provided the listeners with, I think, what, 7 good tips today, 8 good tips. So I think we're about at our time today. So we will wrap this up. So just to summarize, in order to cook on a budget, shop your store brands, stock up on frozen and canned foods when they're on sale, buy seasonally and plan your menu based on those foods, invest in your freezer safe food containers, try to incorporate more meatless meals, buy in bulk, and then do your menu planning based on store sales, and then adapt your recipes to fit your needs. So we'll be sure to, on our next podcast episode, tune back in, and we're going to be giving a few more tips on how you can cook on a budget during these times and be sure that you're not just spending your money and not getting the foods that you enjoy and that are also healthy and nutritious for you. Mandy, do you have any words to close us out today?
Well, I just think it's really challenging times, and we need to save money wherever we can. And this is something that's always in our control. We can't control gas prices. However, we can control what we pick up at the grocery store and what we're feeding our family. Let me just quickly share, when I was in college, my research paper was based on the knowledge of 3, 4, and 5-year-olds. So we found that they had not eaten a variety of foods based on what their parents either did not prepare at home or what their parents didn't like. So that's another thing. A lot of times our kids eat the foods that we eat. So even if there's something that we might not like, we still should even try to fix it, keep introducing those foods to our families, and even getting creative. I know I've shared in the past, you know, I love when fruit or vegetables are in season, because I will be like, what is that? I've never seen that before, but I will grab it. I bring it home. I research it on how to cut it, prepare it, whatever it is. And, you know, my family loves trying new foods.
That's great.
So,
All right. Well, we hope you will join us next time to get some more budget-friendly tips on how you can feed your family healthily and budget-wise. We hope you enjoyed today's episode and that you gained a little more info to help you along your journey to your best life. We would love it if you would take just a minute to rate this podcast and share it with your family and friends. And as always, let us know if you have anything you would like us to talk about on any future episodes.
And don't forget, go to the Fitness Nutritionist Corner, our private Facebook group, where we'll have those fun challenges, we'll answer your questions, and support women along their journey to a better health.
You can also contact us on our website at thefitnessnutritionist.com. And that's nutritionist with an S. And just remember, ladies, you are worth it.